Welcome to East Meets West, episode 159. I'm Tom Merritt.
And I'm Roger Chang.
And I saw some movies. I've been seeing a lot of movies. In fact, I was in the middle of a movie when we sat down to record this.
I'm sorry.
No. I don't mean that. I don't mean that in a like you disturbed me. It's just kind of killing time.
I didn't really mean that as a contrite admission of sorrow.
I wasn't apologizing. But did you see Terminator Salvation?
Yes, and I was thoroughly kind of, you know, it met all my expectations of what I thought it would be. It was not.
I think that's a good way of putting it.
You know what I mean? It's an action flick centered around the Terminator franchise. There's only so much expectation I had out of it, and it met all of those. It had the explosions, robots, bullets flying, and some kind of hackneyed plot about how man and machines aren't the same.
Yeah. I mean, dialogue gets a D-.
You don't watch those movies for the dialogue.
Yeah, near the end of the movie, I'm like, it's starting to get a little bit unbelievable. I mean, the whole thing's unbelievable, but even more unbelievable than you tend to tolerate. It gets a little bit cheesy, a little bit coincidental.
Contrived, like, but I need a heart, but look who's standing next to this.
Spoiler alert here, but yeah, the heart thing at the end was just like, really? Yeah, whatever. But I think overall I enjoyed it. I mean, what I told Eileen was it'd be a great movie to watch on a plane because it would totally suck me in.
Yep.
It would be a movie I would say to people if they were like, should I go see it? I'd say, no, you shouldn't go see it. But, you know, if you just want to do something to kill your evening, I think it's great. It's a great way to do it. Not like Star Trek where I would have told people, yes, you should. You should go see this movie.
It was definitely I told people, if you can get a matinee, it's a great matinee movie and it's a great rental. I would not, however, pay full price to see that movie.
I wouldn't unless I really just didn't have anything else to do. I mean, I'm not saying it's a waste of money to pay full price. I think it's better than that because there's lots of great explosions and cool
stuff. It's a junk food movie.
That's a very good way of putting it. Junk food movie. I didn't love Christian Bale as John Connor either.
You know why? It's because everyone got so wrapped up in that one thing he did on the set that was recorded, and then.
Oh, really? No, I don't think that's why I didn't. I just thought he was too intense. I love that as Batman, but for John Connor, I just felt like he sounded a little Johnny One Note to me.
The thing is that the young John Connor and the adult John Connor have never really kind of closed for me. Yeah, because. Uh-huh. Every time they've shown him as kind of this kind of acerbic, kind of grim-faced leader, you know, looking out. Mm-hmm. So you just kind of assume he's going to be kind of a caricature, you know, this kind of, you know, very two-dimensional.
Yeah, and it's hard to build a whole movie around that kind of character if it's a one-dimensional character.
So, you know, in the scope of things, it's more about exposition and how everything just unfolds. Why do the Terminators want to kill us? What are they seeking? You know what I mean? It's more about, what do they want to do with humans? Why are they just capturing just instead of killing them all?
Why does an artificially intelligent computer have a command console room with a big screen, by the way?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know why they have doors.
I mean, it's all well. You could have doors for the humanoid. I mean, you could ask the question, why are there humanoid robots? But the Terminators are humanoid, so you would have doors for the Terminators to come in and out of. But that's all the doors you would need. You wouldn't need them anywhere else.
But that's the thing:
you don't
really need them in the control room because if they're computers,
or
they
chairs.
Can simply log in. You know what I mean? Remotely,
or a big skyscraper.
I don't know.
One of my problems with one of the prequels of Dune, the premise is that there's these computer-controlled worlds because an AI revolts, kind of the same premise as Terminator in many ways, except it's over many, many different worlds, and there's always the Evermind at the center of every planet controlling it, and the Evermind has a big skyscraper. And it's like, why?
It's like, why don't you just have something in the ground where it's hard to hit?
Or is distributed, you know, so that if you hit the big skyscraper, it doesn't take out the Evermind. Wouldn't it be distributed around the entire network?
Oh, those are the questions we'll only find answers to in the future.
That's true. Future's coming, man. It's coming soon. It's coming every second. It's coming right at you. Another thing I noticed was in San Francisco, which is always blown up or destroyed.
Is it?
Or dominated.
Wait a minute. In what movies was it destroyed and dominated? I'm just trying to remember.
It got beat up a little in Star Trek.
But it was still standing.
Overcome by the computers in Terminator. Usually, if it's not a romantic comedy, when you see San Francisco in a movie, it's the Golden Gate Bridge being blown up by whatever menace they're facing. You know, whenever the aliens come down and there's the world disaster, they blow up the White House, they blow up the Empire State Building, and they blow up the Golden Gate Bridge.
I've never understood why do aliens go around and pick, you know, like highly iconic landmarks. It's not like they're strategic.
Yeah, exactly. They just hate architecture.
They managed to basically what Hollywood is saying is that aliens have pinpointed all their targets based on postcards and travel logs.
Yeah, they go to Google Earth and they find the point of interest maps. And they plan their attack based on that.
Be funny if they had a map of the stars, and they started attacking like
you mean
Madonna's.
Like the ones they sell in Hollywood.
Yeah, that'd be totally funny.
And you'd have to CG everything because nobody's gonna recognize it. But the aliens have blown up Madonna's house. Now Robin Williams. Now Robert Downey Jr. Where will it
end? Robin Williams lives
in
San Francisco.
I know, that's why I picked him.
I've rolled by his house a few times.
Yeah? You mean you hang with him? You roll by his
house? No, I just drive by it.
You just drove down the street it's on. Okay.
When I need to get from the Legion of Honor out to Gary, you just cut through the park.
Tell me that doesn't sound like a superhero installation, the Legion of Honor.
Yeah, kind of. Every time I've seen it, though, I always expect like a huge war memorial with like, you know, soldiers and stuff. But there's just like a big statue of a lion.
I expect 100 honorable soldiers.
Well, see, the thing is, when I think of Legion, and maybe this is just because of the way I was raised or watched movies and read, I always think of like the Foreign Legion, like the French Foreign Legion.
Roman legions.
So I'm always thinking like, you know, the Abbott Costello in the Foreign Legion with the big hat and the little.
That's your earliest military training was watching.
Yes,
Abbott and Costello.
My earliest indoctrination.
Yeah.
French Foreign Legion. It's like, how come they're always in the desert? I don't understand.
See, I always, because that's all the French had. Those are the only possessions the French had were African countries that full of desert, right? That's what you did.
They had Vietnam. That's where Vietnamese.
Oh, yeah. Well, wait a minute. Yeah, Abbott and Costello, sure. Yeah, they would have.
Oh, no, not with that
French Indochina. Yeah.
Well, you know, hey, it could have been. Could have happened.
Could have. For Abbott and Costello go to French Indochina? I want to see that.
That would be cool if not for the actors. You know what? That's one thing they should revive. Abbott and Costello.
Yeah, why could I mean robot? This calls back to Terminator. What did you think of the Schwarzenegger appearance?
That was actually pretty slick. I'll give him that.
You think so? You think so? I thought it looked goofy. I thought it looked like a bad like Disneyland ride.
It. I thought it was slick in the fact that they managed to map the. I'm assuming they got someone that looked a lot like Arnold, and then they retouched his face.
Yeah, it must have been like those DirecTV commercials, right?
Because, you know, the skin was extremely, you know, not flat, but there was no creases or anything.
Yeah.
You know, when very plasticky looking. But
he's a robot.
Listen, the whole movie's hokey.
Yeah.
So having that in it's at least like,
it didn't kill the movie for me.
So it was like,
everybody's laughing in the audience.
Well, because his junk is like jiggling back and forth as he's coming out.
And we're seeing it in California too, so everybody's like, it's the governor, the governor's junk. The gubernatorial junk was on film. I guess he would have had to approve that.
Well, actually,
right?
his junk was on film in the original one.
Yeah, that's true. They probably just borrowed it. Governor had to approve the use of his likeness, though, right?
Probably, or when he signed the contract, they agreed that they would be able to use his likeness in that.
Yeah.
but you cannot make a motion action ride without my prior consent.
Although, once you become a public figure, like the governor of a state, you lose a lot of those likeness rights.
You do, yeah, but it's... But, I mean,
political
I
figures
guess.
Are the least protected. Like, you can show the president. You can show yeah. congresspeople. You don't have to get their permission. They're not... Of course, they're not portraying him as the governor, so I don't know if that makes a difference, does it?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, like, every time you see, like, Bush or Clinton, you know, copycats are always being presidents or ex-presidents or politicians.
Yeah. But where were we? Reviving Abbott and Costello. So could they do the same thing with Abbott and Costello that they did with Schwarzenegger from The Terminator? And just get people who kind of look like him and then touch it up? Or do they even need to? Could they just get people who kind of look like him and act like him?
They should probably revamp it with this. Instead of making, you know, fat and skinny guy, make
reimagine
it.
Reimagine it? A dark reimagining of Abbott and Costello?
Yeah. You could have, like, so you could have, like, basically one transgendered guy who's a woman, and
Costello is actually the prisoner of Abbott.
Yeah, you could totally take it, like, in some very bizarre direction, and be totally cool.
I agree. I think there needs to be more reimaginings. The more, the better. Star Trek's worked. Battlestar Galactica's worked. Come on, people.
It's true. It has.
We've already talked on this show about the reimagining of Star Wars.
Yeah. You know, I'm wondering if he's actually going to go through with the TV series.
Oh, you don't think he is? I thought that was, like, all but done.
Is it? I never heard anything for the longest time.
Yeah, no, I haven't heard anything either, but I thought it was, you know, signed up and coming. Usually you hear
at
a
some
lot
point
more on Star Wars stuff.
In the distant future.
In the distant future. The other movies I watched this weekend were Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist.
Oh, I saw that. It has, what's his name?
Michael Cera.
Yes.
Yeah, the guy from Arrested Development. The kid, George Michael, in Arrested Development. He is a funny man.
Yeah.
Very good at that understated comedy. And it's got a bunch of other people in it. Mostly people I did not know before. The girl who plays Nora, and I'm blanking on her name suddenly, but she was really good. I thought she did an excellent job.
Hmm. I'll have to watch that. It looked like a chick flick, so I wasn't sure.
It's kind of a chick flick, but like
not
all
that
Michael,
chick flicks are bad.
Like all Michael Cera movies, though, it straddles that line to where it, you know... The premise, the plot, is definitely chick flick stuff, right? It is, you know, boy has been dumped by girl, boy beats new girl, but boy's still torn up over old girl, so who should he choose, the brunette or the blonde, blah, 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 right? Like, sounds like your typical stuff, but whenever there's a Michael Cera involved, it kind of becomes just a regular old comedy, and this ends up that way. Although I really felt the greatest lesson of the movie, as I put on Twitter, was that it's really easy to park in Manhattan.
Hmm.
Yeah, because these kids go into Manhattan for a night. That's most of the movie takes place over the course of an evening, and they have no problems parking ever. You know,
wow!
Just pull up.
I should move to Manhattan.
Yeah,
I mean,
apparently
the parking
is plentiful. You can just you can have your band in a van, and you just drive all around Manhattan and just park it wherever. Not a problem. They never, like, went around the block a million times near a club and said, forget it, we can't find a place to park.
That's one thing about movies and well-known iconic places. Like, you know, when they used to show the old Las Vegas when Fremont Street was a strip, Fremont Street, if anyone's been to Vegas, is pretty short. But, like, when they do movies, they're driving on what for seems like, you know, 10, 15 minutes, having this conversation. It's like,
and they're driving. If they were stuck in traffic, I could buy it. But the car is moving the whole time.
And it's like, shouldn't you be out of the city already? Or
aren't you at Hoover Dam by now? What's going on?
Yeah, so it's been kind of, I mean, outside of what other summer blockbusters are coming out? There's Land of the Lost.
Wolverine was very disappointing.
Yes, I heard.
At least I have heard. I haven't seen it myself yet.
Star Trek was good. Star Trek is the only good one so far.
Yeah, Star Trek was...
I haven't seen Land of the Lost, but since it has...
I'm so disappointed they went the Starsky and Hutch route and made it a comedy.
Instead of turning it into an action-adventure for kids?
Yes, exactly. I would go watch that. I have fond memories of Land of the Lost, and I know Eileen, my wife, feels the same way. You know, we're both like, oh, this looks dumb.
It does.
I want to see, like, Land of the Lost, you know?
It would be interesting if they did, you know, would they still make the Slee Stacks as, as hokey as it was?
No, I see that. I think that's the thing, because that's what they do with these. They look at them, and they're like, Starsky and Hutch, they're like, you know, this is the appeal here is the hokey 70s aspect of it at this point in time, so let's play with that and let's make it a comedy. They did the same thing with Land of the Lost. Like, well, instead of making the Slee Stacks believable, we'll just do it the same way it used to be and we'll make it a comedy.
Well, it's interesting because Land of the Lost was actually redone in 1991. It was a short-lived series.
Yeah. I never really watched that.
It was alright. I mean, they replaced the old CJ Jeep with a Jeep, not, I guess it was a Wrangler, Cherokee. No, Cherokee.
Yeah.
So, it was just basically updated for the 90s, but it still had that same feel. But, you know, what do you want?
I want a better movie. That's what I want.
Yeah.
Movie we were watching to kill time here is Shark versus the Eagle.
Oh, that's the from New Zealand.
Jermaine from
that
from
movie wasn't as funny as I was hoping it would be.
Oh, really? I'm only halfway through, but I'm finding it pretty funny so far.
I mean, I didn't think it was horrible by any stretch. I was expecting like these. Maybe it's because Flight of the Conchords is so kind of condensed when they do their acts and routine.
So it's a
so lot, so I'm expecting that.
Minute. Yeah. Well, plus there's no Brett.
Yeah.
Shark versus Eagle. It's just
it definitely has its funny moments, and you'll see it in the last half too. There's some side splitting stuff, but you know it wasn't what I expected.
Mm, I see. Sorry for your loss. You know, tomorrow is Memorial Day here in the United States of America. What are you doing to honor our fallen dead?
I hope it gets sunny tomorrow, then I can go out.
Yeah, it's been really foggy in the Bay Area. I mean, even in Oakland, which sometimes is a little nicer than San Francisco because we're on the other side of the bay. Not so much this weekend. Cold. We were freezing. We went out to the Redwood Park up in the Oakland Hills with Django for a walk. Froze our butts off in the middle. It's like, as funny as Eileen's like, oh, this feels like July, meaning July in San Francisco when it gets really foggy and cold.
I know, it's kind of bizarre. I mean, it's normal, but it's just kind of irritating, especially when summer's just around the corner.
Do you think that we should be controlling the weather at this point? Like, shouldn't we be there by now?
Well, they tried it. They tried looking at it back
China's
in the 60s.
Trying it still.
Well, to help alleviate a lot of the hurricane weather out in the southeast, they were testing ideas of how to reduce the pressure differential between the high and low. So they were doing things like dumping like dry ice out of the back of a plane into the clouds to prevent the formation and stuff like that.
Yeah, we should have control satellites that just, you know what, turn it off, turn it on.
So
that would solve your global warming right there.
Yeah, but too many political issues.
Oh, they said that about going to space too. Look, we're in space.
Yeah, but when you control something like weather, it has such a nefarious, you know, Dr. Evil feel to it. I control the weather with my satellite.
Unlike nuclear weapons.
Yeah,
which we seem just comfy having, you know, half dozen countries having those.
You never know. Maybe you could. It'd be kind of cool. You know, you could. What do they call it? Iodine. Silver iodine?
Yeah, silver iodine. When you make it rain.
To seed the clouds to make them rain.
Cloud seeders.
I don't think those work very well.
Common back in the 70s and 80s, but I don't hear about it much anymore.
Yeah, I wonder how effective it actually was. Silver iodine.
All right. Well, you while you do a little on-the-spot research on silver iodine, I want to introduce a segment. This would be our first. I don't know. We may have tried segments before on East Meets West, but we're gonna pick, because we're so bad about and inconsistent about the comments on the blog, subbrilliant.com/EMW, we are going to pick a posting of the week. Now, we may read more than one posting every week, but we're going to do every episode, we're going to pick one posting to highlight. Doesn't necessarily mean it's the best posting. It's just the one that caught our eye. Get that?
All right. Yes.
Our posting of the week this week will go to SoCal Jess. And here it goes. When Tom brought up Orange County, California, and its regional conservative politics, I want to point out that, interestingly enough, in the November 2008 election, the conservative votes were not exactly a landslide out in the OC. In a breakdown of the November 2008 election, local results showed that the North County of OC, Costa Mesa and everywhere north of there, had more conservative voters than South County, Irvine, and all the towns south to the San Diego County line. This is indicative of more cultural and generational-based voting versus regionalism. North County has more older communities with boomer retirees and immigrant communities, both of which maintain religious-based conservative political values. South County has more new communities with most residents younger than 55 years in age, second-generation minorities, and has more colleges and universities than North County. Orange County votes on the presidential election and contentious propositions, especially Prop 8, which was the gay marriage ban, were just shy of a 50-50 split. So even though Orange County, California may show up as a red county in some maps and discussions, keep in mind that there's a shift in its voter politics, and the OC may not stay conservative in the future. Oh yes, I love the new Star Trek and its young and gorgeous crew. Have a great Memorial weekend, guys. So thanks, SoCal Jess, for those stats.
Yes, really, that was really, really good.
My friend is a union organizer, and he's done some organizing out in Orange County, and he has mentioned the same thing when I've jokingly brought up the OC as a conservative bastion, which is its reputation, to say, and he's like, you know, there's a lot of progressives, a lot of liberals, a lot of labor-friendly people in the OC. He says those immigrant communities are one of the sources of that, so interesting perspective.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, it brings up my whole thing about you can't really label people because people vote on what directly affects them. So, you know, and people constantly move. So,
well, these labels are useful in as much as labels are useful. What happens, I feel like, in all our political discussions is we try to simplify people down into these buckets and have this imaginary conversation in the country between this conservative, mythical conservative person and this mythical liberal person. And yeah, there's some people out there that fit that profile and they get a lot of attention, yeah. But most people are a lot more complicated than that.
Yeah, and it's weird because, you know, it always seems to boil down to this weird dichotomy. It's never like, you know, you can't have a third position or a third viewpoint. It always has to be this or that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's a pro or con. You're either for or you're against.
You're either with me or you're against me, Chang.
So it's like, I don't know. It's you would think in the 21st century we'd be a little bit more nuanced about things like that, but whatever serves. And that's the thing is when people are surprised at like how people voted. It's like people vote, you know, what's in their best interest. When you are going to tax them, you know, to oblivion, yeah, people are gonna say, well, no. And you say, oh, Americans are against taxes. It's like, you know. You know, you got to look at it. You just can't make these broad, you know, broad comments or.
Well, yeah, it's like saying, I mean, let's you want to be broad about it. Americans loved George W. Bush and Barack Obama. Reason that one out, because both those people have one. They love Bush twice as much as Obama because he won two elections. Now, that could change after the next election. Who knows? But it's like. You know, it's like when you put it that way, then people go, oh, well, but that's not true because, you know, what happened was Bush won by this much and Obama won by this much.
What's funny is there's always these mitigating circumstances. And it's like, yeah, well, once everything's a freaking exception, you know, 90% of what happens is an exception, then how is 10% like the true voice of the people? It's
well,
like people.
Yeah, I run into this attitude a lot. When you're trying to use statistics or sort of sociological stuff in my job, and people want to argue both ways, right? So you say, like, you know what? I think most people don't scroll. That's a con. That's an old argument on the web, right? In web design, don't put a whole lot of links down below what you see when you first load a page because most people won't scroll. And then it's like, well, the person who wants to put a link down there goes, well, I scroll. And it's like suddenly we've shifted from being like, let's look at this as an aggregate and what's the largest percentage of behavior, to going right down to individuals and the most subjective one, me. And that's what happens in politics too. It's like, well,
it happens in everything. You
know, most Americans believe this, but I don't. And that disproves all of your statistics. Well, no, it does.
If someone said all Americans, yeah, that would make sense. But most Americans, you know what I mean? So
yeah, and vice versa. You can't say, when you say most Americans believe in, you know, fewer taxes, that doesn't mean all Americans believe in fewer taxes. It doesn't mean that fewer taxes means the same thing to all those people surveyed who said, I believe in fewer taxes.
And, you know, what's most? Is most like 40%, 50%, 51%?
I mean, mostly, I believe it should mean 51%, because that's the definition of most, is more than the other. But even if it is, 51% isn't that huge. 90%, that's huge. But even then,
yes.
So it's like you have to agree, and this is where I think our educational system lets us down. You have to agree to the terms of debate when you start bandying sorts of things.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, I'm done.
Oh, no. I was just saying that that's one of the things, is people have weird kind of ideas about what definitions are. You know, like what several means. You know, well, that's close to a dozen. You know, a dozen's...
But it's four. It's not anywhere close to a dozen.
And you know, what you find in a lot of these arguments, whether it's political, you know, bar arguments or whatever, is people, like, start going into the very kind of granular, well, what do you mean by blah, blah, blah?
Well, people start using rhetorical devices rather than actually investigating, which is totally natural. But, you know, it's like when you're losing the argument based on statistics, that's when you bring it down to exceptions. And you're like, well, I know three people on my block who don't think that way. It's like that's because that's going to shift the focus to something more favorable. Or, you know, you're just trying to win the argument at that point.
Maybe.
it's another one of my bugaboos.
Bugaboos.
Or pet peeves, or whatever you want to call
peeve.
It.
Pet peeve.
Yeah. Well, what do you call it?
I don't know.
when people say, why do, and then whatever it is that they're bugged by, you know, why do people never use their turn signals?
But actually, that really irritates me.
Well, yeah, it irritates me too. But when you say that, you don't want to investigate why is it that people don't use the turn signals. What you're saying is I hate it when people don't use the turn signals.
That's why I say I hate it when people don't use turn signals.
But you know what I'm talking about, where people – and turn signals is actually a bad example because everyone hates that. But, you know, it's like sometimes people will throw out in a discussion like, you know, why do people, you know, vote for Nancy Pelosi? And you start to say like, oh, well, you know, I think one of the interesting – they're like, No, I'm just angry. I don't want to discuss it. I just want to be angry about it. That just sometimes in certain instances that can annoy me. It's like, well, you don't really want an answer to that. You just want to be right. You disagree with whatever it is. So
I disagree.
Yeah. Well, why do you disagree all the time? No, I don't want to discuss why.
Well, if we didn't, then we wouldn't have much of a show.
Yeah, well, that's true. Literally. Now you're being literal.
Literal.
That's the other thing is I hate when people shift.
What do they shift?
No, I'm not talking about you. I'm just
this
saying.
Is all this entire rant's been about me.
No. But you know what I mean. Like when you're having a discussion with somebody and they feel like they're losing and then they're like they get really literal on everything you're saying. What do you mean? It was what you were talking about earlier. That's like, well, what exactly is your definition of local?
You mean where it gets absurdly and totally irrelevant? It's like, okay, you know, I already there's a point where it starts becoming unreasonable. I think maybe it's a social thing.
I think what most people forget when that starts to happen is that means you're the person who's not doing it. You're winning the argument. Because people don't resort to those desperate tactics unless they feel like they're losing.
That's a desperate tactic? What do you mean by?
Well, it can, not always, but when it does reek of that desperation of like, you know, what do you mean by local? Well, wait a minute. I mean, there are times when it's like, oh, there's a valid, reasonable, alternate meaning to things, and let's define it. Sure, that's fine, but, you know, when people just start reaching.
Well, when people start reaching, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
No matter what tool they use.
And that's something we all can agree on.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody.
No, that was good.
What?
No, it's
fine. Are we not done? Do you have more?
No, go. No, we're done. I'm just sorry. For some reason, I got the giggles.
All right. Well, Roger will try not to have the giggles. I don't know if we'll have a show next week or not. I'm traveling back from LA on Sunday.
Yeah,
so we might be able to pull one together Sunday evening. But if not, we'll see you at least in 2 weeks.
Cool.
All right.
Bye.